When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Here on a football Friday, we have What You Drinking, What You Thinking coming up in an hour and 20 minutes. Your chance to sound off. And we look forward to those phone calls. But right now, we continue our weekly series with Nick Harris of the Star-Telegram, Cowboys beat writer for the Star-Telegram. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing well, guys. Doing well, fellas. Trying to battle this storm, but hope y'all are staying dry.
Yeah, it's fairly tame downtown Dallas right now. Whereabouts are you?
Coming back from downtown Fort Worth. Well, I don't have to go into the office too many times, but had to today, and trekking through a hurricane now to get back.
Well, best of luck to you, brother. My first question, what's the biggest injury mystery right now for you and this team?
I would say De'Ron Bland, certainly. There's a couple of contenders for sure, but his recovery has come about. It's certainly a mystery, and I think it's a mystery that is still ongoing, even for people inside of the building. I mean, you look at it, and they activated his practice window ahead of that Lions game. They were able to get him back onto the practice field with the expectation that maybe he would play against the Lions. Then he started to feel some soreness in that foot after that Thursday practice leading up into that Detroit game. They decided to be cautious with it, let it sit over the bye week with a little bit of rest. But when they came back after the bye week, it was still in a similar spot. So definitely activated that window a bit too early. I think anybody would tell you that. I mean, look at it right now. He's using a roster spot that is currently not being used on the field. So I think as week to week goes on, I think you'll start to see maybe a little bit more progress from De'Ron Bland, but it is certainly something to note when we come up a week after he's been activated on the active roster and he's still not played.
So how's that work from here? Could you put him back on and then reopen it? You can only do that once in a year, so he's either on the team or off it for the rest of the season?
You could put him on IR and get the spot. Yeah,
so they would put it back on IR. He would have to miss four more weeks, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And then how about with Dak Prescott? As Steven told us earlier, last hour, it just seems like it's eventually going to happen and we're heading in that direction. When do you think that happens?
Yeah, I think it happens here pretty soon. It's everything that I'm hearing, right about the time you guys were getting that from Steven, I was also hearing on my end that going towards injured reserve more than likely happening, and that this recovery is trending more towards 6 weeks rather than 4 weeks. So if that's the understanding, then go ahead and put him on that list. Let him use that roster spot for at least the next 4 weeks. But it sounds like this is something that's going to trend further into December.
We did also ask about Tyler Guyton. I'm not sure if you have any more information there, but also with Zach Martin, do you think some of the trend backwards in play for him this year is more injury related than it is father time, or could maybe it's just a combination of the two there, Nick?
You asking more so their play so far this season being injury related?
Yeah, well, Zach Martin specifically, but then just Tyler Guyton in general, how he's doing leading up to Sunday.
I think with Zach Martin, and I mean this with the most respect, that's a future Hall of Famer, but I think it's father time more than anything. I mean, he was talking about it before the season. You know, you kind of hear his body has kind of limited him in some instances in the last couple of years. He was really banged up last year in comparison to how he has been throughout the throughout his career. I think coming into this year, it's been something different every other week or so. Right now, battling a shoulder, but it sounds like he's going to be good to go for Sunday. And the same thing with Tyler Guyton. He's dealing with a shoulder and a neck issue. The neck issue is something that he suffered against the Falcons last Sunday, and you could see him whenever they were walking into the locker room after the game. He was kind of rolling his neck around, and then also that shoulder is up there as well as far as something that has been bothering him. Mike McCarthy said today on a conference call with the media that he's really trying to fight through it and play on Sunday, but they are preparing Austin Richards and some other instances if he cannot go.
Nick, the situation with Micah Parsons, likely going to have him back this week is, we always talk about pitch counts and all those things because of him coming back. Do you expect him to play full in this game?
I do. I think if Micah Parsons is back on the field, he'd be at 100%. I think if you were looking at a potential pitch count situation, that would have been something that they maybe could have done before Atlanta if he wanted to play, or if they wanted, if the two sides decided that he was going to play against Atlanta, then I think a pitch count probably would have been more of a realistic option. But I think both sides agree that if Micah Parsons is on the field, he's going to go 100%. I think that might be a little bit of the reason why it took this long to get him back on the field, too. It's just a sense that, hey, whenever he's out there, we don't want 11 to be limited. We want him to be at full go, and especially a game like this going up against the Eagles, missing their left tackle, Jordan Mailata, who's also on IR. This is an opportunity for Micah to really get after the passer and make life difficult for that Eagles offense.
Yeah, Nick, you and I on the show this morning on the break, you were talking about you really do like this matchup with you think he could take advantage of Jackson here.
Yeah, I do. I think if Micah Parsons does come back at full health and we see that explosion coming off of that ankle, I think it could benefit this Cowboys pass rush. And the pass rush, everything kind of trickles down from there if you're able to find some success there.
It's Nick Harris of the Star-Telegram here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Nick, do the Cowboys have a pretty decent running game here with Nico getting the touches? Rico?
I wouldn't say pretty decent. I'm still not a believer that this running game is efficient enough to operate for an offense. I think that they have found something in Rico Dowdle's receiving ability over the course of the last few weeks. I think that's something that they could certainly build on. But as far as this running game goes, it has been far too inconsistent for it to be something that I would even call decent at this point.
Now, what do you know about Zeke's situation?
Yeah, it sounds like he will be ready to go this weekend. I asked earlier in the week, Jerry Jones said that he would be available for the Eagles game. It sounds like just a disagreement that happened last weekend before their departure for Atlanta, and both sides decided that traveling was probably not the best option. And even from what I've heard, it wasn't even necessarily a blow-up that caused that to happen. It was just a more so a decision between both sides to let things simmer down over the weekend and then head back into next week with a fresh face. But I do think it is interesting because whenever – this is just my personal take. Yeah. When I'm hearing everything that happened last Saturday, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, well, okay, then Zeke's not going to be on this team for much longer. But I think now that he is still on the team, we look up a week later, I think that speaks to the respect that Jerry Jones in the front office has for Zeke and vice versa. Because Zeke could have easily come back in this week dejected and, out of the building like he was last week. But he reapplied himself this week, was told he was in meetings and things of that nature. So I think the confidence is starting to get built back into Zeke Elliott. But I think he's going to have to earn it a little bit more as the time goes on.
Okay, since we're giving our opinions, Nick, here's mine. I think this is the first sign that Mike McCarthy says, I really don't care anymore.
I'm not sure how he can operate with a backup quarterback and an inconsistent running game. A receiver room that hasn't been able to, create much separation so far this season, and an offensive line that's been inconsistent. But on that same token, he hasn't been creative in play calling either.
No.
He hasn't put his guys in situations to be able to succeed on the same end. So I think if you're looking at it from an offensive play caller perspective, and you got to play the cards that you are dealt, and currently these cards do have CeeDee Lamb still in the fold. That is still the second highest paid receiver in the NFL. You got to be able to use him in some situations. We were talking about it on the break this morning, Brian. I think there's a situation where Jonathan Mingo, use him in some situations out of the backfield. Maybe that's a way to get your running game going a little bit. He does have those sort of knacks from his days at Ole Miss, but it is a tough hand that McCarthy has been dealt for sure.
Yeah, I'm and I should have clarified even more. I don't think Mike cares about the Zeke situation anymore. I think that he kind of looks at this like, hey, the general manager is going to play who he wants to play. You know, it's my responsibility to put the game plan together. And, you know, this, you know, he, you know, with everything you talked about, missing practice or missing meetings, all this stuff like that, being late, you know, a head coach is, and all of a sudden, like, oh, 3 days later, everything's great and fine and dandy, and we're back to normal. Yeah. Nah, man, this head coach, to me, and again, my opinion, has just kind of said, all right, fine. If we want to do that, let's just do that then. Great.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a fair assessment, you know, especially given the history that Zeke and this front office has that predates Mike McCarthy. I think that's probably a fair assessment, Brian.
What do you think about Trey Lance maybe helping out this running game?
Yeah, I think it's certainly an option. Whenever I was talking about Jonathan Mingo potentially being in that running game situation, I would love to see a read option with Trey Lance and Jonathan Mingo in the backfield. I think you might hear me clap in the press box. So if you see me getting kicked out of AT&T Stadium, you know that's what happened on Sunday. But, I think he's certainly a guy that with his athleticism, with his running ability, we saw it a few times in the preseason, he can add a layer to this offense. Now, do you trust him with more than 10 to 15 snaps in a game? Probably not, especially in some critical passing situations. But, you know, that is the reason you do have Cooper Rush. But I think there are some packages that you could work in with Trey Lance to still maximize his athleticism, because he's not inactive anymore. He's a guy that will be on the active roster, and you can use him whenever you do feel like doing so. So it'll be interesting to see if they do that and when.
You might as well just slide over, sit by Brian, and I'm on the verge of getting kicked out of that press box almost every single Sunday. I got to try and bite my lip quite a bit.
Especially this year, right?
Oh, yeah. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. I wanted to pick your brain on Jordan Phillips a little bit, who was released this week. He ends up re-signing with his old team, the Buffalo Bills. You got to be around him and have some conversations. Clearly, his first interaction in Buffalo, he tells the media, it's just nice to be somewhere where I'm appreciated and I felt wanted. What didn't go right for him here in Dallas?
Yeah, it really stemmed from that disagreement over his wrist and the wrist injury that he suffered last year, oddly enough, against Dallas when he was playing for Buffalo last December. He needed a minor cleanup surgery after that injury, and the Cowboys did not see that was, 100%. Jordan Phillips disagreed, and I think that's where, the discourse kind of started with him and saying that, hey, I'm not hurt. I don't know why I'm going on IR. But the Cowboys, they felt like they did have a valid reason for him being on the injured reserve. And then once they were able to bring him off injured reserve and activate his practice window, they released him and went ahead and let him find greener pastures back out in Buffalo. I think that's mainly where the disagreement started, was around that wrist injury.
Where's Brandon Cooks? Is that infection clearing up for him?
Yeah, this is something that I expected maybe him to get on the practice field this week. So, a little bit surprised. Honestly, truthfully, Eric, something I'm going to have to check in on.
Okay. Can we get a young linebacker update? Maybe projection ceilings for Leafau and Overshown?
I'll tell you what, if you look at bright spots on this defense, which there are not many so far this season, I think you can look at Jordan Lewis, especially being in a contract year. He's had a phenomenal season so far. And you can look at DeMarvin Overshown, the way he has attacked the ball, the way he brings down ball carriers. Sure, he has had his fair share of missed tackles as well, but the way he attacks the ball and gets after ball carriers, it's something you could certainly build on for this defense going forward. I think he's probably the saving grace of that 2023 draft class. If you look up and see how they've done over the course of since they've been drafted, I mean, look at Schoonmaker. He's only played 3 offensive snaps over the course of the last 2 games. So Overshown, that third round pick, maybe trying to drive it home for everybody. And then on Maris Luafau's case, he's a guy that is being used in a lot of different packages and a lot of different situations. And I would like to see a little bit of consistency from him. I think that's probably what the coaching staff would tell you too, to see a little bit more consistency as time goes on. But you certainly see the IQ. You see the skills that he brings in from his time at Notre Dame. It's something that this coaching staff will be able to develop as well.
You getting through that storm all right?
Yeah, so far so good. I think we're on the other side of it now.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram. Enjoy your football weekend, sir. Thanks for the insights.
Yeah, thank you. We're never through the storm, Gavin. Never through it.
That's right. Yes, sir. It'll be a while. Thank you, Nick. A must follow there on Cowboys Twitter. Here it's the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fan. I think this now makes it 3 guests this week have confused me for Eric or Eric for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jane Slater.
Yeah.
One other that I forget, but
was it?
I don't know. One of our voices is changing to get closer to the others. I'd be offended if I was Eric, you know. Sounded like an old man over there. He's,
I know,
he
Danny
just turned 30.
Danny, I think, thinks all of us are Gavin.
That's right.
But that also might just be the only name he knows on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right about that. Okay. Rim session coming up at 4:40. We'll be talking some hoop, though. Top 10's coming up next. Bully, what do we got?
Top 10 most hated teams in the NFL. I think, you know, mine's the Eagles. All right. Who's yours? 877-881-1053. Are the Cowboys still at the top of this?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
List. That's next.
Yeah, buddy. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully.
Thank you very much. Who is your most hated team in the National Football League? 877-881-1053. America's voted. And I wonder where our Dallas Cowboys are on the hate-o-meter across the NFL. Did have a stat of the day for you, though. This one's pretty damn interesting. I saw our buddy Trey Wingo went ahead and quote tweeted this as well. Of all the crazy numbers during this Chiefs run of Super Bowls, this is what Trey Wingo believes is the craziest stat, and it's hard to argue. Since Patrick Mahomes became the starter in 2018, the Chiefs have been under 500 for a grand total of three games. They started 1-2. And then fell to 3-4 in 2021, and they were 0-1 last season. That is insane. Three times. They lost to the Lions, and then they went on a run. But that's a team that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have just humming at an unbelievable rate. Currently the only undefeated team in the NFL. I know our buddy Tim in Carthage, he's putting in the upset call this week. He thinks Bo Nix, Sean Payton, and the Denver Broncos are going to ruin their perfect season this Sunday.
It's just crazy that in this parity league that gets everybody, nobody can stay good for more than 3-4 years before they're cycling. And, you know, the Patriots did it. Great coach, great quarterback, and now the Chiefs are doing it. And it just, it seemed like Brady and the Patriots had to be an outlier. Like nobody else would be able to dominate the league in this way. It's embarrassing for everybody else, if you ask me, Woolchuck.
I would agree. I mean, it's one of those where it's like, what the hell is going on? How are they able to be this consistent and that good? And you've got to play near perfect if you want to beat them. And if you keep that thing within a possession in the fourth quarter, they're finding a way to get it done. It's pretty damn miraculous. Did see this nugget as well. This is a positive Cowboy stat. We need Cowboys positivity.
We do right need now. Some. Yeah, we do.
How about this from RJ Ochoa? Tyler Smith, one of only two guards so far this season with at least 125 pass blocks, no sacks allowed. Smith has had a one-on-one matchup on 70% of those pass blocks this season. That's the highest among all left guards. He's allowing just a 5% pressure rate, seventh lowest among left guards, according to NFL Pro. So, hey, for even like a cut, maybe a missed play here or there, and it sucks to be an offensive lineman because everybody remembers that one bad play.
Great 65 of them.
Yep, and the 64 others are awesome, but it's the one bad one that sticks in people's minds. But Tyler Smith has still been pretty damn good.
Did he have one play here in a game recently where he missed the block and Dak got hit and
it was
an interception or
something? He did. And it
what game was it? Was it the end of the Baltimore game?
I feel like it's more recent than the Baltimore game.
There was one game.
Was it the San Francisco game?
It might have been the
I think it was the San Francisco game.
It might have been the San Francisco game. You're right about that.
He gave up that deep ball, maybe.
Is only the pressure, the only time.
And that's one of the few ones. Yeah. But he's been very, very good this year, and then that's exciting. All right, let's talk about hate here on a Football Friday. Which NFL team do you hate the most? Bleep them. Eagles from Woody in the 214. He actually said something else there, but I don't know what I can and can't say out of that, so I'm just going to censor it to bleep them Eagles. And screw the Packers from the 479.
Whoa.
Yeah, the Packers have a lot of respect there, but they've ripped our hearts out plenty of times. And I guess, like, maybe, you know, I can see your side of that.
Sure.
Or when you were in Green Bay and it was the Cowboys ripping the Packers fans' hearts out. So now it's kind of evened out.
Well, no, I don't like the Eagles. I don't like the Eagles. I mean, I appreciate what the Packers did for me in my career. The Eagles, like, Jeff Lurie, I thank you for giving me the opportunity, but he got rid of me and Lombardi before.
Yeah, screw them.
Like, they didn't know who Andy Reid was. And I walked in there and was singing the virtues of Andy Reid, and, like, we get let go, and who they hire the next year? Andy Reid.
Freaking Reid.
Yeah, we were trying to get him as an offensive coordinator when John Gruden left. They didn't know who Andy Reid was, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, let's bring him back, interview him, and see what we got.
Yeah,
and, you know, and then he's there for 14 years. So I don't know. I don't like the Eagles for that reason. I appreciate the opportunity to run a draft, but, hell, they didn't let us see that thing through. You know, we had a damn good plan for that thing.
And it was a hell of a draft.
Only got one. We might have sucked after that. You know, who knows? But
maybe.
But
was good.
We'd had Andy Reid as our coach, you know, so. Anyway,
360 said, dude, Kansas City's not losing to Denver. Broncos embarrassed them last year. It's payback time. I tend to agree. I didn't have the balls to jump on with Tim in Carthage, even though he's been on a roll here. He did pick Baltimore last night. I thought Bengals, desperate team. You know, maybe Cincinnati would find a way to figure it out. Hell of a game. Could have gone either way. Unfortunately for the Bengals, didn't go their way. Lamar Jackson was brilliant last night. But, I mean, he's got to be the most impossible man to just play defense against in the NFL. He puts so much stress on you with the threat of being able to tuck it and run at any moment, but also then being able to sling it. And he's throwing the football at a really, really high clip right now.
Yeah, the Broncos defense is just different, you know. And I think that has proven.
Vance Joseph's done a nice job there.
Yeah. They're going to get pressure. They're going to get pressure without blitzing.
Yeah.
So I think this is absolutely a game where an inferior opponent could hand them their first loss.
214 Cowboys fan. Hate the Jerry Cowboys. Mm. I wonder if there's some fans that are just turning with how frustrated they are right now with the way that the team is being run. I can understand that. But, hey, stars bigger than just one person, right? That's what I keep telling myself. Falcons and the Cowboys are a very close second from the 214. This is our buddy Black and Gold B, so he's a Saints fan. So he said
they do hate some Falcons.
Hates the Falcons, then hates the Cowboys and the Spurs in the NBA. I'm with you on the Spurs. I mean, Cowboys, as a Cowboy fan, I've always hated the Eagles. They're my number one. Definitely the Astros.
I grew up hating the Commanders.
Yeah, and I hate the Commanders. Like, all three NFC teams, they'd be.
That's how I grew up. Hating the command and the Steelers.
Steelers, too. Yeah. 49ers. Yeah. You can throw them in as well. Green Bay, certainly. But hate
Green
the Astros.
Bay, when you were a kid, we never beat Dallas. What do you mean?
2014, 2016.
Okay. I see what you're doing.
Right.
Now. Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, if you asked me, like, hey, do you hate Green Bay? I would say no. But after what happened in those playoff runs.
God, I mean,
maybe it's just an Aaron Rodgers thing.
I don't know why anybody hates Green Bay when you're a Cowboys fan because I know from my era, we never beat them.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, now it's the last three times you've played them in the playoffs, they've won. So
yeah, younger fans for sure.
Younger fans. I get that then. Okay.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
And both the young ones and the old ones hate the Cowboys now, I feel like.
I believe it. The Cowboys are a team that I think is easy to suck. The Eagles are probably the front runner here for the most hated. Pittsburgh.
I think you would hate the Cowboys as an away fan or an outside fan just because you want to tune into pregame shows in an NFL network and see talk about other teams.
Yeah.
You know, that's the most annoying thing.
Well, I think that's something in this top 10 that you'll find is a lot of the popular teams or teams that have gone on a run of sustained success.
Lakers.
They're the most hated. Yeah. And this is specifically the Lakers. I think a lot of people
Barcelona.
Hate the Lakers. The Yankees. Yankees are going to be very, very hated.
That's the only team I really hate is the Yankees and the Lakers, you know.
And
that's
I get it.
For the same reason.
Yeah.
Do you hate the Dodgers or the Yankees more?
Yankees a lot more. Yeah. Yeah.
The Dodgers are about to be hated if they go sign Soto and people like that.
Oh, my gosh, if they do that.
I have a soft spot for the Dodgers because my little league team was the Dodgers.
Okay.
Keith Schilling was from Southern California, yeah. And he insisted that we were the Dodgers every year, and his two sons, Chris and Damian, were the best players in the county. Mm. So we did whatever the hell they wanted there for a while.
Lucius
left me off the All-Star team. Oh, yeah, that was a problem.
That is a problem. You don't leave him off the All-Star team. Most hated NFL team?
NFL team. In the 90s, it was the 49ers for sure. Yeah. I did not like them whatsoever. Now it's Philadelphia and Jerry Jones.
Yeah, and Jerry. Yeah.
You've been real consistent. Like, the Jerry Jones thing has been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It hasn't been like this year.
No.
It's been a while.
2016.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm late to the party on that one, but I'm not happy with the way this thing's going. I tried to fight it, but now I'm fully bought in on that one. I'm with you on that hate train. The Cowboys are going to be very high on this list of most hated NFL teams. The team that is the least hated in the National Football League, maybe they're just irrelevant to some, but they're 32 on this list of most hated. It's the Indianapolis Colts. There doesn't not a lot of Colts hate out there. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just their Midwest. They're not really doing anybody any issue. Maybe like Peyton Manning, like those Colts teams, maybe people hated it. Like,
sure.
Peyton's kind of likable, maybe.
I don't know. But if we were doing Houston radio, I think they hate the Colts down there.
Texans and Colts don't like each other.
Yeah, not very much.
Yeah,
not
the Jags are the next runner-up. Jacksonville. People don't have a lot of hate
Are we
for Jacksonville.
Detecting a theme here of the AFC South?
They just don't seem real, you know, to me.
I know there is a theme.
For the first 15 years of my life, the Jags didn't exist, and then they're there. And I just feel like their color scheme and just everything about them just seemed kind of made up.
I'll tell you what.
what is their color even? Is it like aqua?
Teal.
Teal, that's
it. Yeah. Teal, I'll tell you what, it was a great gig. If I didn't have to work for Tom Coughlin, and again, he hated me, so that's okay. But it's a really good gig. It's a great place to live.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
You know, and you're just kind of like.
As long as you can stay away from the
Gators. Yeah, like we didn't have like Pete Prisco and John Osher were the media. We had two media guys covering the team.
Not a lot of stress.
Yeah. You know, you go home and you're like. Sit out on the lanai in the back and watch the golfers come by, and you could go down to San Augustine and grab a good meal down, on the beach or something. It was a really good gig for me to be a part of that. But the head coach was a pain in the ass.
254 said, talking to people who hate the Colts. I don't even know people who like the Colts. We do have one big Tolo who is a Colts fan. I know that.
They've got a pretty good crowd there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that RCA Dome used to get packed.
It's a weird state, though, because so many people in northern Indiana are Bears fans from their dominance in the 80s. Yeah. So it's really only people around Indianapolis.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Small but loyal fan base there.
And then you have the Notre Dame fans. I mean, you have... the IU fans. This is a tough state.
Indiana's on a run right now. The Hoosiers.
Oh, they sure are. They sure they could be a playoff
Purdue.
Team. Honorable mention most hated right now in the NFL are the Giants at 14.
Ah, oh, man, how do you hate history?
The Lions at 13.
That's another historically.
The Lions are starting to tick people off. I know they've ticked the Cowboys off.
Their coach is going to piss people off.
And then the Jets and the Bills.
Yeah, the Jets. I can see that.
The Bills, to me, are like lovable losers.
Bills or Jets?
The Bills.
No.
I don't get Bills.
It's because you own them in Super Bowls.
Right. And they just lose miserably, it seems like, all the time. Like, they're pretty cursed.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. Lovable losers for the Bills. Maybe it's just their fans who are so obnoxious.
They are.
You know, they're like the drunken, colder version of Eagles fans in some way. Slightly nicer.
Yeah. But you know what? They are doing weird things out there.
Would you call them overrated?
The Bills Mafia?
Yeah.
I mean, they jump off those RVs into tables that are on fire.
They're
Ryan.
Doing crazy things. I think they live up to the name.
Yeah, I think they do. You know?
10.
Give me the Raider fans over them.
Oh, the Raiders we'll get to. 10 most hated franchise in the NFL is the Vikings. That's a surprise to me.
Hated?
Talk about lovable losers. Vikings that category.
People in Green Bay hate the Bears more than the Vikings.
And the Vikings, yeah.
Yeah.
Number 9 is the New England Patriots.
That's a very hateable team.
Very hateable. Yeah. And they used to be higher, but now because they're starting to lose, they're falling down the list a little bit.
Very entitled fan base, Belichick, now they're bad. They won all those Super Bowls. They should still be number one for at least the next decade.
Okay, we'll keep them at the top spot.
Yep.
8 is the Raiders.
Oh.
People do hate the Raiders.
Shouldn't.
7 is the Denver Broncos.
Why?
That surprises me, too. I don't know what
their fans are.
Chiefs hate the Broncos.
That AFC
Raiders.
West, you got a lot of teams that are going to hate you. They've held the court in that division.
A long time.
Kansas City hates you. The Raiders hate you. Yeah. The Seahawks still hate you.
Yeah.
Chargers hate you.
Fans hate them after
Seahawks,
the
Seahawks, you're right. That's an old AFC team, too.
That's true. That's a great
Seahawks,
point.
Yeah.
6 is the Chicago Bears. I guess the Bears are hated.
In Green Bay a lot.
Top 5 most hated franchise in the NFL. Steelers at 5. That's a success thing.
That is a success.
You just got to respect them.
Respect.
A lot of respect.
And
might be the most respected NFL franchise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 is Green Bay.
Huh.
3 is the Eagles. My personal one.
Should be number 2.
2 is your Dallas Cowboys. Number 1 most hated team in the NFL right now as voted by fans.
Kansas City Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Oh, that's hating
there. Hating
How
right
do you
there.
Hate Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, man?
You hate winning. People hate winning. It's like you're hate jealous watching.
Let me ask you this.
Jealous hate watching.
They don't hate because of that poor Taylor Swift, do they?
That might be a factor.
Winning.
I think Kelsey's pretty annoying too. I try to look past that. I think I like to appreciate greatness. You know, it takes a rare form of great for me to totally hate Lakers and Yankees. But Chiefs, give me a break. I mean, this is a great story, you know, of really a body slamming a league built for parity and average football.
Their owner lives here in Dallas.
Yeah.
I can hate that guy.
Yeah. And so does the quarterback. Quarterback's a DFW guy. He's basically like, you know, our AFC team. Yeah. That's the way I look
they
at
used
the
Chiefs. They used to be. They're the Dallas Texans at one time.
That's true. Yeah. I think it's a no-brainer here for us here in North Texas. Okay, rim session. Why we might be losing a foundational piece of the 105.3 The Fan air staff. We got to talk about this in addition to the finest coming up at 5 o'clock, and then we'll be drinking and thinking here coming up in the expressway at 5:20. We're back in the nation. But welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. We have a little afternoon, evening rim session here. Mavs are in action tonight. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll have an edition of The Finest. Talk more football with you. Get you set for Cowboys-Eagles. Then it'll be time for what you're drinking and what you're thinking. But for the first time in G-Bag Nation history, I'm going to open up the rim session. Let's go all 58.5 inches around the rim.
Bum, bum.
And it's always a special occasion when we get an opportunity to talk about a potential departure of a foundational piece of the 105 to the Fan air staff.
Holy crap, who is it?
I joined the Fan in March of 2010. Less than 1 year later, in came the new morning show, Sean and RJ. They were new school at the time. I don't even know if you remember that.
New school, show.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Folder's still new school.
So we checked the headlines today, and the Tennessee basketball play-by-play man is retiring.
Yes.
After a legendary career. This now creates the very uncomfortable opening of a dream job for 105 through the Fan host, morning drive anchor, RJ Choppy.
Ralph James.
You know, that's Choppy's dream job. And do you know that at one point early in his new school career, he was a burgeoning play-by-play man himself?
He was.
We have some RJ Choppy's greatest hits for you. He was calling for the legends in Frisco. Lucius, where are we going?
Let's see here. I mean, there's so many I had to choose from. I enjoyed going through it, in fact. Man, I wish I could just have a whole hour where I could just play every clip because there's so many of them.
It's genius. I feel like a lot of people are doing these kinds of bits now in their play-by-play, but Chop was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And maybe this is now his time.
He got fired, yeah.
Yeah.
He
ultimately got fired for this.
The league said, we don't like your bits, and now they encourage the bits.
Yeah,
the bits are good.
My man was ahead of his time. Here he is snapping into a Slim Jim.
And Eric Griffin, snap into a Slim Jim!
Yeah. Hello, EA Sports.
Rebound, out of bounds. No, saved in. It goes right to Wilson. Wilson with it. Up and in. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Yes.
So they would talk about this on the show.
Yeah.
In the mornings ahead of his games and, you know, give him ideas, feed him ideas on, you know, what bit he could do next. I think it was maybe a little bit non sequitur at times, but I think he could refine this for sure.
Little biggie right here.
Miller gets it stripped, gets it back. Dawkins. And he'll try a little step back, 18-footer, no. Underneath, Michael Eric stuffs it home. How you living, Biggie Smalls and Mansions and Benzes? Stuffing it home, Michael Eric.
That didn't even rhyme. What kind of poetry is this?
Shut up, Fish.
That had potential. I think he should have gone with it. Yeah, Fish was the analyst there for a while.
Yeah.
It's good times. We did a couple of talk shows up there, actually. Sniper John and I would be doing talk shows, the G Bag Nation, when it was like 7 to 10 at night, and then right down Press Row was RJ and them. There was a big push there when Don Nelson Donnie was up there, and
that's weed.
yeah, we were having a good old time there at the gym in Frisco. What's next, Lucius?
There we go. Turnover. Ashley on the drive.
Fido Fish.
It's Fido.
Why wouldn't it be Fido? Why wouldn't it be Fido?
Fido. Yeah.
He even did a panther.
All the way in the lane. And the alley-oop to Evans! Rah, rah, rah!
What? Wow. I tell you this, man. I don't know if Choppy is embarrassable. You know, kind of stuff.
No.
It's like, hey, what do you want to do this for a bet payoff? He'll do that any day of the week.
And it's my favorite actually was when we were out in Oxnard and he started coaching the volleyball game that was going on.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Because he's like calling them out.
Yes.
You know, calling them out, calling them names. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they enjoyed it.
And they were random people.
Yeah.
We had no idea who they were. Yeah. Eventually they're like, Coach, what do I need to do here?
Yeah. They went with the bid. Yeah. Dude, it was so funny. All right. Early one for the Mavs tonight. They're going to be in action here coming up at 6:30. This game on ESPN. So you don't have to do much fumbling around there looking for the game. It'll be easy for you to find. But this Suns team, pretty dang good. I think they are a pretender, Brian, not a contender, but they're hot right now. Things are going for them.
Yeah. The Mavs, I believe, are 2.5-point favorites in this one tonight. With all that's going on and stuff like that. So maybe they feel like that Phoenix might not take this one seriously. Maybe the Phoenix might be heading back home after this and
put
the parking lot kind of a game.
I think they're going off like the per play analytics and like the luck factor of, you know, how often your shots go in compared to the quality of shots that you're creating. But Phoenix is a deep team. They have Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen coming off the bench. They've been big for them as well. But I mean, anytime you're facing the two superstar scorers that the Suns are going to bring to the court in the you know, a tip-off, it's going to be a game that is going to require a defensive effort. And without Kleba, Washington, and Lively, I would say you're going to need an above-average offensive game as well. I think you need 115 to win this evening, Broadus.
I'll tell you what, though, is Coach Bud must be doing pretty good there, right, with the Suns. But you mentioned opponents' points this season. The Suns have allowed about 111. In their games, which is a 14th out of 30 teams. So what was the number you called for?
I think it's 115.
115. Okay, that would give you a win because the Suns are averaging right at 115. Well, it's 114.5.
I might have to boost it to 120 then.
You might have to boost it up.
I might have to go higher because, you know, this Mavs defense, you got lucky the other night playing a Bulls team that's pathetic, doesn't have a clue.
On his official, Lively, PJ Washington, Kleba are for sure all out for tonight's game against Phoenix.
Mm. That stinks. All right. It is a football Friday here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Of course, Fan After Dark is coming up at 7 o'clock. I'd like to pay attention here, Cowboys-Eagles going into this weekend, at the quality of players they've brought in outside their organization. You look at why have the Cowboys fallen off? What's different with, you know, the Eagles? And I know Chauncey Gardner-Johnson not playing great, but he's one of them, and he has played well in his time as an Eagle.
He was an Eagle, then left to go to the Lions and came back.
Yeah.
So he's kind of on, he was on the boomerang path there.
So they brought him back. They also brought in AJ Brown a couple of years ago, yeah. And the cornerback Darius Slay, was that going into last year or was that going into 2022? They've added quality players outside the organization. It's a great way to stay on top. It can be tricky. But I think the Cowboys will have an opportunity to do that over the next couple of off seasons as a result of, you know, not taking great players in drafts. Their cap is going to come around and be open. And instead of giving these guys very high valuation contracts, move on, bring in people from outside the organization. You got to spend free agent money on somebody. Who wouldn't have rather had a $20 million right tackle instead of Terrence Steele? You know, yeah. But that's the issue with falling in love with your own players and wanting to sign the guys you draft.
You know, to your point too, you know, Mekhi Becton has played really, really well. You know, he was the bust at the Jets, and you know, here's
didn't stay healthy. Yeah, he was not a good tackle.
You know, Southland, the coach there, the offensive line coach, has done a really nice job with him at the right guard spot. A little bit slow footed at times. We'll see if Osa and those guys could take advantage of him there. But man, he has played actually pretty well for the
so they have him and a couple of young offensive linemen in there.
Yeah, they've actually, well, Cam Jurgens finally got to start playing. He's been with them since 2022, and he was a second round pick. And then Landon Dickerson was a second round pick in 21, and so they've kind of put some things together. I don't think they have the physicality that they had at one time.
Yeah.
Especially with Jordan Mailata not being in there. You know, Fred Johnson is kind of a journeyman. He's made about three or four different stops. You know, he's not as powerful. When you put Jordan Mailata in there, he could be a hard guy. That large man, hard guy to get around. But Fred Johnson is giving up some, and that's what Nick Harris and I were talking about, that the matchup, if you want to go Micah Parsons over their left tackle, that would be a place that I would definitely start in this one.
All righty, it is the G-Back Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Tune in for the pre- and post-game show with our guys, Chiafalo, Wolchuk, Broadus, and, of course, a star-studded guest list throughout your broadcast day, all Sunday afternoon, 3 hours before and 3 hours after the game. Okay, in addition to the finest coming up, Wolchuk, what's in store?
Let's do it. The reasons the Cowboys make trades. Did Sirianni just tell us something he shouldn't have? And mid-season awards, that's next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.